Welcome, After Buzzers. You are watching the after show for American Crime Story, The Assassination of Gianni Versace. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, After Buzzers. We are back. Season 2, a different story, a different crime, but we're excited to get into it. My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong. Where can they find you?
That was very strong. My name is Ronnie Jr. I am not strong, but my Instagram is going to be at RandomlyRJ. This dancing part is never my favorite, but I can't wait to talk about the show next week. Oh, look at it, went in. Hold on.
Hey.
I went in, though. Okay, now back to you.
Hey, Answer Buzzers. It's me, Russell Ray. You can find me all over the internet at Russell Ray Silva or on Snapchat at Russell Raymond.
Hey guys, I'm so excited to be here. You can follow me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet or Bonjour Juliet. Both work.
I was so nervous about beautiful. The music, but now I'm in a rhythm.
I love the music. I mean, like, it wasn't the happiest of stories, but the music is very uplifting.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you guys think? This was, like, intense, but so great.
Yeah, it was great. I want to purchase that mansion. That's my goal of life now. Yeah.
Just another great installment. Amazing actors. Penelope Cruz, Dasha Polanco. Just awesome across the board.
Ricky Martin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Miami. I'm from Miami. So
for me,
this is like.
Have you ever been on those steps?
Of course, yeah. Just watching the tapestry of my city was beautiful.
That's crazy. Yeah. Did you know it's the number? It's the third house most visited in the States.
Really?
Yeah, number three. That. Yeah, number one, White House. Number two, Graceland, which is in Memphis. It's Elvis's house, and that's number three.
Wow. I seen it once, and I had to go right up to the steps, take the picture. Like, that picture was literally on my screensaver on my phone for 3 years. Like, I just, what's weird, I was telling you guys, I'm very nervous about doing this after show. Mm-hmm. Obviously, done 100 of them, but this story of the Versace and Andrew Cannon and how it's like mixed together, like surprisingly, like it just brings out a lot. I mean, not just the actors, as you said, but the story itself is like,
I'm learning,
I've got chills.
The details are crazy. And then, I mean, growing up, it was a big story, but I didn't comprehend the details of the story. So getting these details are just chilling.
That's funny you say that because we were talking earlier and I didn't know the depth and the nature of the story behind what actually was happening.
Yeah.
And so finding these things out and we're researching together, it was very interesting to find out all the different aspects. And
there's so much. Like, I was saying, oh, did you know this? And he's like, did you know that? And just like, I'm so glad we're getting deep into it.
So we have plenty of info.
I love the way it started with the flashbacks. I love how we kind of start with, you know, that opening scene, so jarring, and then we go back. Right. What do you guys think of how they're cutting this show?
I thought it was really, you know, it's just like, the first few minutes are so intense. And you said it, you're like, oh my gosh, so intense. And they just, this is what it's going to be about. And we know what happens, but we don't really. And I think that's what it was telling us. So you think you know, but you know nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Darren Criss is doing a lot of interviews. I've been watching all of them online. And it's like, spoiler alert, like, obviously you know what's happening at the beginning, but it's just like giving that story back. I mean, as we were talking, what was the episode I watched? The full Dateline episode. I think it was like 3 or 4 months ago. And that's when I learned like so much about like what made Andrew Cunanan tick. And if they weave these two stories together and then being so different, these two gentlemen, yet
which I'm sure
so the same from what we already know. I'm just stuttered for this episode or for this series.
What was y'all's take on Andrew Cannon, the person so far? We got a very interesting take in this sort of pathological liar.
Creepy man.
Well, I think it's just interesting to look at someone who's playing one aspect of their life and sexuality and trying to still figure out who they are, but still somewhat try to remain confident in their life.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us go through that at one point in our life, but we aren't psychopaths. But we all go through that rough patch where it's like, well, what's my identity? And to really just see it play out, but the sickness behind it.
Right. And I'm curious to see how far we go back with the childhood. Because that's gonna open up a lot of doors too. I think what we learned about Andrew Cunanan is that I think his father moved away back to the Philippines or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And he had this like, life really threw me to the shit, and he had a chip on his shoulder, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that was the exact same time that he was struggling to like be an out man or whatever. So it was at the same time that he felt deprived over money because his father wasn't around, was the same time he said, oh, let me start playing these older men. We're gonna see that in the series, of course, but like that right there, to have somebody tick tick boom boom is like, that's major. You don't have no money and you're scared of your sexuality, and then you get them both at the same time. Like, that's what makes a serial killer.
Right. Yeah. And we're seeing such an interesting balance, because at one point, he almost seems like a balanced individual. I always tell people what they want to hear. It almost sounds like a reasonable assertion, but then it just kind of goes off to the deep end.
And big stuff, though, on Darren Criss as an actor, because you got to play the role of him playing the role of other guys manipulating it. Like, that's pretty layered. I mean,
yeah, definitely. He's such a layered character. And that was actually one of my favorite quotes. And he's like, I tell people what they need to hear.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, that gave me chills. So I was like, that's so, yet so genius, but so creepy at the same time.
When it goes to this level,
because it's like everyone wants to be liked, and I think to a certain degree we kind of do that, we play off of each other, but like that was just such a crazy reality for him to express like that. It was really, really cool.
And I think another thing we're probably going to end up talking about is a little bit of the genius of Andrew Cunanan, because when you see him pick up Versace and he's making these lies, the lies were intricate enough to fool someone who actually knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about just the level of his own intelligence and sort of how he's manipulating people?
I mean, man, he doesn't back down at that club scene, and he just kept on, you know, and Versace is such a renowned man, and he's trying to have a conversation, and he's being really nice. He's like, yes, he's responding to all his questions, but you can tell he's not trying to have a conversation with this man. He's trying to talk to the person next to him, and he went back down, and I was so surprised that he was able to sit with him, and I was like, damn, that's persistence for you.
And do you think that comes from the fact that he already was, like, manipulating other men, too, and then it was like, you're like searching for the candy, and then once you get one rich man, that's like, okay, he's cool, he's rich, but, like, the power was who Versace was. Do you think that, like, led to how comfortable he was with him? Because he was, like, an ultimate prey, even if he didn't know what he was going to do?
Yeah, I think that he has a sense of just powerful that just is inexplicable. He doesn't back down, and he's gonna get what he wants, and ultimately he does in the grand scheme of things.
He was honing a craft. What I find so interesting about people like that is that they're almost so intelligent they could have done something on their own that was really great if they were just, you know.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Like, he could have cured cancer. Yeah. I know. Like, what's going on? Oh, can I guess ask you guys a question? What are your initial thoughts between this series and, like, the OJ one? I mean, obviously because it is still American Crime Story. Mm-hmm. You specifically, because weren't you on the panel?
So, I mean, for me, it's just the brilliance of that Ryan Murphy storytelling of giving you a story where you can find new elements to it, even though you already, because the OJ, we, like, kind of knew the story, but then you found so many different layers, and then this one's the same, where people kind of have this general idea, and so I already know they're going to tease out this information in ways that'll be presented new to me.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I could quickly hop into you guys, this is Jeff from the booth.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
I heard a great quotation today that says, "No one's better than Ryan Murphy at taking something that seems like a surface-level tabloid story and really digging in and making it much deeper than you think it is.
Right.
Picking apart the huge media circus components of American culture and giving us something much, much richer underneath." And I think that's the connection between both of these two series is, on the surface, it's this kind of shallow scandal, but he forces us to look at it in a much deeper way.
And the funniest thing is that this story did have some of those layers that you're talking about that he's bringing to life that so many people talked about, yet a whole other cross-section of the people didn't talk about. Ricky Martin, when he was doing all his interviews, he kept saying, by the way, isn't it funny that Andrew Cunanan was on the FBI Most Wanted list and no one was taking this seriously? Ricky Martin was insinuating, which we saw in the episode today, that, like, because it was a gay man's story, like, is this some... And this is, again, 1997.
You know, getting the attention that...
So that's the part that's really challenging, to think, like, this guy was on a spree, but at that time, were we, as a people, turning our backs on what could have been, just like we did with AIDS and the gay disease? Like, I'm asking the question. Like, it's really shitty. Yeah. And when Ricky Martin said it so passionately in all these interviews, I was like, damn.
When you consider he'd killed four people at that point, and these wanted posters weren't out.
Right, because in the episode, the one guy was like insane. They're like, where did these go out? They're like, they didn't go out.
He had no answer.
Not one, not two, but, you know.
It's a tough accusation, but, like, I would hate to think that that did go on back in 1997. That's a long time ago.
Certainly would be prioritized, and certainly, well, this is not an immediate danger to the public, you know? So they're couching that discrimination in those terms, you know?
Yeah,
and so I think
they didn't care about AIDS either. Sorry, it's like,
and we saw part of it. I think even in Donatella's protectiveness of Johnny's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So not that obviously she was discriminatory, but she knew how other people viewed being gay and her brother and that lifestyle, and so she shut down the partner's interview. And I thought that was interesting. What did you guys think about that tension between the partner and the police detectives, and having to kind of negotiate what was happening there?
Well, I think about today and age, like we. That's not a phrase. No, I just think about, like, what we have now, you know, not necessarily that we take it for granted, but, like, just thinking about those times where Antonio got with him, I think in 1982, they were together, 15 years?
Yeah.
And, like, right now, as we're watching it, we're literally watching Ricky Martin playing Antonio, seeing, well, it's like watching Ricky Martin.
Because imitating art, imitating life.
Yeah, but we're watching him, like, literally feeling like he's going to lose everything because we didn't have rights at that time. So that's really a tough,
and the
tough thing.
And the questioning that he didn't realize was so tilted kind of against him in the way that they were understanding that lifestyle. But he didn't even realize, he was just so in shock. But I think Ryan Murphy did a great job of portraying that sort of bias.
And I'm glad they left that in. Yeah, because that detective was crazy. Like, he was basically trying to make, negate the real relationship that was with the two of them. Whether or not they got, like, six people in the bed, that's not your situation.
and it was a bias I don't even know if the detective realized he had. It was, like, ignorance on his side as well, just sort of, like, not knowing but assuming.
Yeah, I mean, I also, as soon as she closed that door, it was just like, that's the moment where it really stuck with me. It was like, oh, he's maybe gonna be kicked out of the house. Like, he has no rights in this situation. If she's not there to support him, she has the keys to the kingdom, right? She's the next one in line for this throne. So I'm kind of interested to see how this is gonna develop, but I don't really know what's gonna come of him.
I don't know how I would have felt if I was Gianni's partner and then his sister walks in and tries to start demanding things after I would have been with him for 15 years.
Yeah.
Because I would have sat that girl down. I would have put her in her place. Like, wait a minute.
I run this house. To comfort
you just
him.
Came back.
Yeah, true. But she's even... She hands... You know, he thought things that they're going to grieve together. And he reaches out to, like, hug her or whatnot. And there's just... There's nothing there between them. So I feel like she completely negated, like, their relationship.
I wonder, because I got the sense that they're going to be close, or that they would be close, because it's been 15 years, so I figured she must be close to the guy.
Do you mean close, or close in terms of how she was stating it? Like, you had a role. Like, that's what it sounded like she was saying, you had a role, and then now that he's dead, it's like, out of my life completely.
Right.
Well, I got the you have a role thing, because I think that's sort of natural when, like, you know, someone that you love is far from you and someone else is with them, you know, because you're taking care of that person. Mm-hmm. But I imagine that she's planning to take care of him and make sure that he's going to be fine. I don't know the story. So.
Yeah, because it's an extension of her in a way. Yeah. They have such a strong 15-year partnership.
And Johnny was so close to Donatella, so I would figure she's planning to take... But I don't know. I don't know what happened.
I'm very curious to see what you guys think, and Jeff also in the booth, what you think. So there has been a lot of reports that, like, the family members aren't really, like, for this movie. What are your guys' overall thoughts on that and how authentic the story is? Obviously, when we watched the Marcia Clark kiss... Dart, and it was like, come on, I mean, you know. So, I just want to know the authenticity versus it really being a great program, and does it hurt you guys as viewers to not be able to see the family kind of, like, being gung-ho about it? Like, does that ruin your enticing nature?
No.
We were talking about this before when we were viewing it. I think there's different layers to it. I think, you had said that she,
There's a fine line. This is on a very, very fine line of right on the border of disrespectful.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, when you lose someone and it's something that's so tragic, especially like the Nicole of...
Nicole Brown?
Yeah. Nicole Brown. Yeah. I was going to say Anna Nicole Smith. But Nicole Brown, and then comes down to Gianni Versace. Those families have already grieved that moment and lived that, and the last thing that they want to see is it in the headlines again.
Right. Yeah.
The only person that this works to an advantage for is somewhat for the brand, and in the O.J. Simpson case, for the Kardashian brand, obviously, because they were brought up into the situation and they were more...
I think it's such a beautiful story. I mean, dark, definitely dark, but I think it's just, even just bringing that universe to life, in a way, it pays homage to it, but I think it's too early. I think it happened not too long ago. I think it's a story that definitely needs to be
20
told.
20 years is too, well, too
I
tight?
Know, I don't know if it's there, too early.
I think it's too early.
Now is the time.
When all the family members that had to go through this are still well alive, I think it's too early.
Can I tell you what I... Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, well, I did think with the... Well, it's different, because with the OJ situation, you actually had so much information, but so many competing views.
Right.
Very little information here, but not as many competing views, less post-death controversy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually more room to kind of, like, not be as authentic, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we also didn't really know that. Like, to me, Gianni Versace wasn't famous until he died, because I was so young. So, but that's when his name was blasted to me. So no one was really paying attention to his details of personal life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think getting more license is actually kind of nice in terms of filling in the blanks for the story of it all.
Right.
And so, you know, I appreciate that. You'd like to hear the family members are on board, but to me, this one's less contentious than the last one was because of, you know, OJ's still alive and, you know, that whole deal.
Right.
Well, Donatella and Penelope Cruz are friends. And so Penelope said, oh, I talked to her. She's my friend. So I want to make sure I portray her in, you know, a respectful way. And Donatella said, you know what? She's my friend. But I'm not going to watch the show.
I don't want to see it.
And like you say, because it's a person. We've already lived that. You know?
She's lived it. It's her life. It's her life. Even if those are actors, that's an exact replica of every step of the way.
They shot it in the house, in the villa. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the house. Those are the first scenes. Yeah. The actor looks so...
Too real for... Yeah.
He looks just like him, and he's getting shot. Like, I just... Yeah. How can you not?
I like the actor's chose. I don't know if we talked about that already.
Yeah, we have a few pictures of... I feel like the actors look a lot like the characters they're playing. They did a great job with that.
The Versace, the Johnny Versace.
Edgar
Ramirez was he originally was a journalist. He did a small indie film, and that kind of blew up, and that kind of like pushed him more into the acting world instead of the journalist world. But he says to this day that he goes into every role with a journalistic integrity. Yeah. He actually, about 2 years ago, he played Roberto Duran to Usher's... I'm not a sports guy. Usher played... Who'd Roberto Duran fight? I know it. Anyways, you guys know it in the comments. But so, like, it's really cool to see him take on another real-life character. You know, obviously, you could compare the real Roberto Duran to Edgar. But Edgar here... I'm into it. And I like him as an actor or a journalist turned actor. I think that's fantastic. Right.
Yeah. Well, thinking about it, it's almost perfect because when you're going into a story like this, that's a real life event. As a journalist, you can dig the layers back because you have the science behind it to know how to do it correctly.
Right. Yeah. I was watching the AOL Build interview today, and Darren Criss was there with Edgar Ramirez, and Darren was saying, you know what, it is a little easier for him to play Andrew Cunanan because we don't know that much about him. And even though you said Versace didn't splash into your face until it kind of was over, nonetheless, he still was popping before that, you know, and he was the five models and he was like in a scene.
Yeah.
So it's a little more challenging because we're going to always want to compare the original Versace to this guy. But darn, it's fantastic.
Pretty close. I thought Penelope's portrayal, again, it's interesting that Donatella wouldn't want to watch the movie, because that was almost the sort of, or the show, that was almost the sort of feeling I got in that scene where his partner reaches out to her for that hug, whereas she was just so, wanted nothing to do with the blood, wanted nothing to do with that scene.
Yeah, that could make sense, you know, regardless of the relationship, that was one of my thoughts, is I would not want to hug. Like, he saw white with the blood everywhere, just, you know. It's crazy. But she, I mean, the way she just wiped those tears, man, and people, I'm sure, will say, oh, she's cold. But no, I think that was such a powerful moment where she was like, yeah, having a business meeting right now seems not like the right thing to do. That was pivotal because, and I love how she said, he's not going to kill my brother twice.
Yeah, and right before that, that was chilling. Was just, I caught a little heartbeat, you know?
I was like, yeah, you go. Yeah, no, we're not. Versace's still well alive.
But it was weird because, like, you know, tragedy, you think you're going to be to the floor and you can't do anything. But she was, like, in it. Another good quote right before that, she said, first they weep and then they start to whisper. And I was like, Ryan Murphy with the, you know, whoever wrote it.
I know I have a lot of Italian friends, and they hate this romanticized idea of the mafia. They hate it. But there was almost that feeling of, like, that sort of family, like, you know, Cosa Nostra, which I really loved. I loved that feeling of, like, closing the ranks. This is what's going to be important to us as our family, the millions we might make from being a public trade company.
I'm curious to know, even this could just be, like, iTunes people could comment or whatever, YouTube. Where was she, like, in the scheme of business at that point? Like, was this, once this happened, did she scoop all the way in and become the Donatella we now know?
I think they made some place, like, a place for her, because I guess the brother had kind of started it with Johnny.
That's who I thought was going to take over when he died.
And she was the designer. So she took over the design element, it seems. Like, and that I guess she had a little one-off brand, the Versus, what was like for females, Versus Versace, and so I thought was interested in doing that research of
I think when it comes down to a situation like this, and I'll get back to the whole Italian thing because my family's half Sicilian, so I'll get to get you guys in on some of that, but I think it really just came down to the moment where whoever can handle business at the time had to handle the business, because 5 days prior to his death, he had just signed a contract to go in the New York Stock Exchange and to be really blasted out there in the industry like that. and there was a decision that had to be made. There was a contract on the line. This man is now deceased. The brand is still living. Something had to be said and done. And I mean, to get it done that quickly, they decided, you know, we're going to keep it in the family because right now is just not the time.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think he just, I think he made it very clear to everyone in his life that he loved Donatella. So people were happy to give her that deference, knowing that's probably what exactly he would do.
Right. Yeah. He said at one point, which I thought was so, so sweet, he was like, the first dress I ever designed was for her, and every dress I design, I have her in mind.
That was the most powerful statement to me of the entire.
Like, man, I want a brother like you, bro.
You get the bond right away, right? You get that bond, like, right away, you know that that is, like, the most important woman in his life.
Yeah.
And then you come to find out the more, the detail about his mom being a dress designer.
That was so beautiful, too. And I just, I really love that, especially because, and think in the model industry, models are kind of meant to be life-size coat hangers, you know what I mean? They just walk through the runway with no expression, and he's prepping this woman for the opera, and he goes, no, 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 it's all about your face. Your face is the only thing that matters. It's just how you feel in this dress. Don't think about me. And I was like, that's beauty right there.
Yeah.
That was something that stood out to me as well, that he said that it's about the expression. It's not about what you're wearing, but it's about the expression on your face while you're wearing
it. Yeah, it's not how you look, it's how you feel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to wear my outfit today on this panel, like, with an expression on my face.
Wait, so so you have Italian, so you're going to tell us. So how did that feel for you?
Italians were very loving, we're very over the top, but at the same time, we lock down and you handle business when business has to get handled. And I think that's where people skew the idea of the whole Cosa Nostra mafia style aspect, is the fact that you knuckle down and you handle business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, they're running a multi-million-dollar family business, and it has to be taken care of and looked after because this is an important brand.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, yes, this is a situation that happened, but you know what? You can't change it. There's things that have to get done. There's pieces that have to be moved. And come to find out, the family had the body by 8:50 the next morning after he got shot.
Yeah.
That's less than 24 hours after the situation happened. They wanted to make sure that this was handled with the most delicate care, and there hasn't really been verified, but it was because of, they didn't want any testing to go onto his blood because of secrets that the family was holding behind.
Really?
So that's why they got his body back within the 24 hours.
I wonder if that'll be addressed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it didn't. Antonio's character, he said, oh, they're going to find out anyway.
Yeah, because it was.
That he had HIV?
Yes.
That we're talking
about? Yes.
Oh, okay. Did he? Did that come
out? It was alleged that he had HIV.
Oh,
wow. And that's the book that this story is based off of. Addresses it as well.
That's
so
what is that? The vulgar favors.
Vulgar favors. So they wanted the body as quick as possible because they didn't want no one to get in a hold of any DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why it was very prominent, and it stood out in this episode that the lady took the photo from the magazine and rubbed it on the blood.
Which I
thought that was just excellent commentary on this sort of idea of that, like, voyeuristic, you know. It's same thing like with the OJ thing. With the OJ thing.
I remember being a kid. Like, I grew up in California. Being a kid, or however, 13, whatever, but, like, my parents, we drove all the way to what is it, not Beverly. Where did she live? Where he live?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just to see, like, the hundreds and hundreds. We did that, like, as people. Like, that's what I did as a kid.
Wait, you went down to the formation?
For the O.J. Simpson?
Yeah. My father was obsessed with shit like that for some weird reason.
Yeah.
And we went to go look at both houses. And all he kept saying was, my father, he kept saying, oh, wow, look at it, it's so close. They live, like, 5 minutes away. And they really did live, like, 5 minutes
that's
away.
That's something about the culture. And then, you don't have Instagram in those days, so might as well just go right up and go see with your eyes.
That's crazy. Yeah. And that one guy, taking a photo. He goes, highest bidder. And it just
30K.
It's crazy, you know, in those darkest times, you really see how people...
You still have people that try to exploit.
Yeah, and you see what people are made of. Like,
and
that's crazy.
How quick is what really gets me. Like, it's just like,
the same
couple right away,
who,
how am I going to benefit from it?
Exactly. Yeah. The same couple who went for the blood is the couple in the beginning who wanted an autograph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you portray yourself as a true fan, as I love you, but that's not at all... That's not a true fan.
Yeah.
You'd be sad. You wouldn't be doing that. So vicious.
And it's the truth of, like, the reality that I guess we live in. The sad truth is, as much as you have good people on the sidelines, you have those kind of people as well.
Right.
Oh, definitely.
It was almost like social media culture.
Back then, right? Exactly.
Really, if you think about
the newspaper was Facebook back then.
Yeah, exactly. That was it. Really. Right. But anyways, let's get into predictions before we run out of too much time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What do we got? Okay.
Predictions. Why don't we start over there? We come all around. I was going to get the maximum time for my prediction.
God, I think that's a tough one because there are certain things I know because I research, but then I feel like that's spoiling the show. So I don't know, man. I'm A Hobbit, I'll just say what I'm hoping to see. So I'm really hoping to see. I think this show's going to go back and forth. It just, you know, it starts off from what actually happened with OJ, was kind of like the events until the end of the trial. So here we're going back in time. So I really hope we're seeing more of the psychology behind the killer. Yeah. What really led him to do this? I think we kind of touched upon it. They had some kind of flirtation. We'll see how their romance flourishes. And then I'm also really excited to see Donatella handle business and see how the brand that we know today came about after those tragic events.
I really want to see Andrew's whole aspect of life. I want to know, I want to peel back the layers of the onion. I want to see where this really all fell apart. Because for someone to be so intelligent to be attending the University of California, Berkeley, that's like, you got to be top notch to get into that school, and you got to be the best of the best. I have a friend that went there to be a lawyer, and I was so intimidated because I didn't go anywhere crisp, but she's just like that. But I really want to see where it falls apart, because we're all kind of on that string of losing it at one point in our lives, and to actually have lost it, I really need to see where what the ticking point of that bomb was.
Yeah, how it all develops. You know, I was saying earlier to someone else how I don't really, so I don't like these shows. FYI. No, I'm like one of the few people, you know, everyone loves a First 48. Ronnie hates a fucking First 48. I don't like anything death related, right? I don't, it's not like I don't like it, but I don't need certain people to be glamorized for what they did. Unless it's the Amy Fisher story. I like the Amy Fisher story a lot, too. Amy Fisher, and this one was the only story I ever liked. And it's not like I don't think the Melendez Brothers is an amazing story, but I don't like as people. We're making our best, like, popcorn-eating shows, you know, these shows. Now, I'm not talking shit about the show. I'm just telling you where I'm coming from in the sense that, like, I don't like them. But this one is so good. So to your idea of predictions, I want to see it all unveil. Of course, the Andrew Cunanan thing, I would love to see as far as they're going to go back. Like I said, I think his father had a lot to do with, like, his, you know, how he started tripping out a little bit, I think, from the Dateline episode I watched. I would love to kind of see how he just maneuvered in San Diego at that time. I would love, just as a viewer, just to, with the whole, like, opulence of it all, I want to see, you know, the five models, and I want to see Versace being super amazing. And then today when I was doing research, I was trying to find the article, I don't know if it's available anywhere, of his advocate article. Because I didn't realize, I guess in my mind, like, I'm like you, where it's like, I was watching Dodger games. I didn't like Dodgers, but still. Heteronormative world, they make you do that shit, right? So we were watching Dodger games, but I, of course, knew who he was. I didn't think this man was ever in the closet, right? So I'm interested to see all his hang-ups, you know, and if he came out later in life, like, what that did to him, and maybe how he was, like, not as evolved, even though he was so successful, right? But imagine, you're, like, so successful, but you can't even, like, make terms with this particular part of your life. And as someone who came out older in life, like, that shit is gonna be, like, I'm really gonna be interested in that story arc, because you look at Versace, like, okay, from humble beginnings, but, like, you don't think that that part of his life is, like, an issue, right? I never did. And so if it is an issue, and then we get into Antonio, and then where he gets left off, that's probably gonna be a story that'll hurt too, to watch Antonio not get anything out of it.
Does he not get anything out of it?
Well, let's watch.
And if I could quickly piggyback off what you were saying, Ronnie, just I am so excited to see how Murphy and the team really thematically investigate, because that's the difference between a Ryan Murphy crime procedural and like a NBC Law and Order SVU. Is Ryan Murphy, I think, deliberately picks crimes and murders that are going to reveal something greater about our culture as a whole. So I do think, like, obviously Ryan Murphy's really impassioned with LGBTQ issues, and I think he's gonna really frame the murder and a lot of the issues that are being dealt with kind of in that light, which I think will be very, very interesting.
You're right, and I don't know too much of his work. I'm not an American Horror Story guy. I watched one of the seasons, but he's also, he's stepping into it. He's got another one called Pose that's coming out. Billy Porter is going to be in that. That's going to be 1986 ball culture in New York City. And so, like, the idea is, like, oh, okay, cool. Like, what does this white man know about, like, 1986? This is not my words, but this is words of people. But to Jeff's commentary, it is just that he is so brilliant at taking what the story is and giving us different ways to view it. So I would say, like, I'm with the Ryan Murphy at this point.
Yeah, I think that's what he did brilliantly in OJ, because you were like, how's he going to tackle race and then domestic violence and all these issues without
making it seem over your head and like being preachy about it, like especially now in these times where these things are a little bit more salient than they have been before. And so you want to see like how is he going to tackle these sort of LGBT issues, but then also be true to the story and not be like preachy at all, but tell a good story.
Right. We don't need like we don't want need a Donatello story to be about like women. What is it? Wage gap. Like if it doesn't make sense. And I don't think it. I don't think the stories that they're going to tell from all the interviews I watched with Ricky Martin, I don't think that they're going to go off base. Like I think these were things that were in the story. If you were hip to the story, you were like,
there won't be like a Trump cameo in episode 5 at the golf club.
That was a little bad on the last one. Why did we have to see so many Kardashians in the last one? Like,
because they were part of it, though.
Yeah, but they were part of it on that level. Let's be
I felt like they were in fact there, and so he wanted to just show that they were there.
But we knew they were there because
they dropped the name whenever they could. Yeah. The kids like shouting in front of the TV Kardashian. It's just that they were trying to appeal to a younger audience who knows that name and doesn't know OJ.
Because the reality,
we'll see if it pans out in this. If they don't do any of that kind of stuff here, then I'll be more to the authenticity of it for that one.
And also, with the Kardashian thing, I think it was just playing into the themes of fame and fame whorishness that dominated that time just as much as they do now. I thought that was like a very deliberate choice for him to say, even then, these girls were craving the fame.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt like it was the seeds of fame were planted then.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Was how
the media circus, and then they kind of felt that's part of what was part of life to a degree.
Well, I mean, the devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder. Right? So, shout out to her, by the way. If I could work on her level, I would.
He's here for it, I suppose. Yeah.
But I mean, I got an education. I'm not about the fame horse name.
She's brilliant, but Ryan Murphy's brilliant as well.
What about just, I want to ask you guys, like, your, just the cultural, just infusion Versace has had. I mean, from all the songs to...
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Versace. We almost opened with that and then figured it was a little corny, but maybe next time.
It'll make an appearance.
for sure.
Yeah. No, but I mean, this brand has really... Like, I mean, what is the most local song? Not local, but newest song was... Bruno Mars
Versace
had one.
On the floor.
Yeah. I mean, did Drake have one too? Like...
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is very much different than any other story, you know? And I don't know if that starts from, like, him having the Fab Five, you know, Naomi and all those girls. I don't know if that legacy, even though he lost his life, people still want to be about that legacy.
Well, I think Donatella, to her credit, really pushed forward. I think she really wanted to make that thing an homage to him.
Right.
And so she could have maybe let it go public or let it die to a degree or pull back, but I think she wanted it to be something that always lived beyond Johnny Versace.
Yeah.
And I think also it's a brand that's so extravagant and doesn't hide it, you know? He even says it, that the Medusa logo, some people don't really necessarily gear with it, and he was like, I don't care. Yeah. And even back then, it was just kind of about, you see his house, it's just like gold and big and flashy, but somehow still has class to it. Mm. And it's debatable because some people, you know, even one character in the show was saying, oh, he dresses girls like sluts. I think people, especially nowadays in like this pop culture eras, are really drawn towards that because it's very flashy.
And he's got this humility that I think makes him a compelling character. The whole, every dress is from my sister, the whole, I just had the one rack and the one bench.
Yeah.
Like that level of humility makes you go, well, I still root for this guy, even though typically that wealth you wouldn't root for.
I want to see that trendsetterness. Like, I want to see how it develops, like how these ideas
for
organic stories, and then like all of a sudden, because it seems so easy now, like, oh, that's just what you do. You like rock out, you know, you have a big brand and all the models with you. But.
And I was glad he wasn't too romanticized, where he did say no to the autographs, where you were like, oh, that's kind of a dick move. You
know, that's what I said! And she's like, no, he's just supposed to be a regular person. And I'm like, no.
But you know, you walk, you're Versace, and you've walked out of your ridiculous mansion on South Beach. Give them an autograph.
Right.
I disagree, man, because he's not in it for the fame. He's in it for the extravagant life, but it's just because he's a genius and he just, you know, he wants to be his emperor of his own
character. He might be selling the lifestyle more than it's actually him. Like, he might be very low-key.
But he could have been, like, in Miami, he could have been, like, on Fisher Island, where it's hard to get to. You know what I mean? Like, he could have been in different places.
But he's trying to
be... public as possible, which I think.
But I wonder why he chose it. I mean, I thought I saw a little bit
you
of it.
You think that would make you want to be more?
I don't know, because he's walking the streets normally with no security, nothing. He's buying his own magazines at the corner store. Like, that's something nowadays, like, an assistant will run into, right?
Well, I think they were saying that the assistant usually gets the paper too.
Really? No,
not all the time, but like, there's an offhand chance that
it looks like he was like his morning routine, like, you know, getting bread.
Well, I think that's how Kunanen like spotted it, but then I think the assistant did it quite a bit soon.
Okay.
I mean, again, these stories. stories could be all like out of it.
Because it did seem that it was sort of like Conan was found an opportunity. He's like, oh crap, okay, he's actually I can get
that. That looked like a TMZ cameraman trying to run up on a celebrity.
Yes,
that's exactly what I thought. He's when
like,
I
oh,
saw
oh,
it.
Like so that was like, weird. It didn't seem planned, but he had the gun. Like it just was so
weird.
So
that's why I thought maybe it wasn't super routine, but like he thought maybe I'll see him outside this place.
Oh, another thing about authenticity, I don't think Versace stared at him.
Oh,
I don't think that was. Well, I'm just throwing it out there to all the viewers and stuff.
Except nobody would know that because neither. And you know what I mean? Who would have ever counted that?
There's probably some way you could tell by your I don't know like some DNA
by the
type
way that
thing
you fall.
Or no by how you I don't know. Like, I really don't know anything about DNA. But like if you turn around, there's probably something that can be calibrated.
Maybe.
And where the shot went, even where the shot went through,
yeah,
it could be something like that. But like I said, I don't really mind things being changed just for the sake of, like, I
artistic
think Ricky
sort of.
Martin was right. saying he was talking with Antonio, and he said that they had a conversation about how Ricky Martin said, I just, in this moment, to tell this part of the story, I would have held him in my arms. And I don't know if that was exactly the truth, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not trying to shit on the show. I'm just,
right,
you know.
No. Well, it is, you know,
it's entertainment. It's still like a TV show. It's not, yeah.
And like you said, we weren't there. No one, there's a lot of instances where no one was really there or even was able to make sure, like, this is actually how it went down. So,
but, oh, God.
First of all,
I love this panel, you guys. Everyone's like, yeah. So cool.
If someone shoots your friend and you're running after this person, you're not thinking about the fact that they have a gun, are you really not going to keep running, like, and give them the opportunity to take out the gun and point it at you? Like, wouldn't you just full on charge, even if you've seen them reaching in their bag? Like, you know, you got to run faster.
No,
well, not if you can't run faster.
But I mean, you're in the situation where you're probably going to get shot anyways. And this was one of those one offs where he just decided not to shoot.
Yeah, but
him.
You're in shock though, right?
Yeah, I think you're.
I mean,
shocked.
You put
he's
a gun
to...
on me, I'm going to freeze.
It's like lifting a car off a baby. You just do it. You don't think about it. You know,
I don't think so.
I think you
your
could, adrenaline think you
going.
Just freeze opposed to just do it.
I think some people might lift the car off the baby. I think the vast majority. Just don't lift the car.
And then we'll be sorry.
It's adrenaline.
I
disagree. Yeah, he's just. I think he's like, hey, what happened? He's trying to figure out what just happened. He's running after the guy. He maybe doesn't even know he had a gun. He just knows that he was close to him, so he's trying to get answers.
Yeah.
And
you want to become like a super soldier?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not a superhero movie.
Run through and like just roundhouse him.
I think it also even to get like facial recognition, like you know. Maybe that was his goal, just to see who the guy was, what's going on.
Well, I think he just on instinct ran after him and then realized, oh, crap, wait a minute. He just
shot someone.
Yeah, and he has a gun on me. Time to call it quits and go back home.
Beyond sickening, those last couple shots of Kunan just walking around Miami or like right on the right on the ocean.
And his yellow outfit.
It makes you wonder. What, like how crazy. Like
it makes you wonder who you're surrounded by, what psychos are walking amongst us.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity to really talk about issues that we have in society today, but you really never know. There's these innocent people all the time whose lives get taken for no reason, and we don't know that someone sitting to our left could
that's
be a
the
weirdo,
thing
right? You know,
I was really interested with the story, and maybe because I just watched a bunch of Darren Criss interviews, it's like he was saying, you're by no way you're gonna like fall in love with Andrew Cunanan, and you're gonna see all the flaws, but like you're gonna at least get to know more of the story. And the part that I really wanted to see, just because I felt really. I don't know. I felt like weird, you know. We only knew the Versace death, but there was other people that were in this terror.
Right.
And I think this is going to be really good. I think the first two people that he murdered, he knew. I think it started that way. I think the last one before Versace, he just did because he needed the car. Like the guy was going.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, a more human side of the serial killer
because they are
quite
created to a degree. So you get to see a little bit. Of
I think Darren Criss is doing a great job.
He's
and
doing a great job.
I'm almost like when I was watching his interviews, you guys. I felt like he was like prepping for like speeches at awards. I don't know if this is gonna be as good as the OJ one. Yeah, I'm gonna take from it more because I like the story more.
Right. I personally think it'll be better.
Yeah. So far, it's really good. And real shout out to Sky Patterson in the chat. Just thank you for chatting and joining us. And all of you guys that join us in the chat, just seeing Sky's name right now. So,
thank you, Sky. But yeah, I do agree. I mean, just like it was so chilling those moments where he's just walking around like nothing happened, his little yellow outfit, and he watches the TV, and this woman reacts, and then he like mimics her, thinking, "Oh, right, I need to blend in." And you can see he's smiling underneath that hand.
That's
you see, just with those, that was insane.
It was
just,
like he felt validated
right.
for all of the stuff,
100%.
You know?
Or not even. It's just like to me, it was just like. He's done this his entire life. He mimics things of reactions that he thinks
he
should do or the things you should say to be a part of what everyone is because he always wants to be on
you
the inside.
Guys, I just thought of this.
That's a good point.
That's a great point.
I just thought of this. Those last 8 days, I'm wondering where his mindset is going to be. So that's going to be some of the fun Darren Criss stuff that we're going to get to watch.
Yeah.
Because, like, so if you just, yeah, because he just went through what you just stated, yeah, and this like, weird effect. But what do you do from that high to the 8 days? Like, does he start crumbling in those 8 days?
Yeah.
Or does he ride the high and then eventually just take his own life? Like, that's a very weird juxtaposition of, like, his accomplishment, mm-hmm, and he literally has 8 days with it. Yeah. It's over. That feeling that he had that was sick for us all to watch, 8 days.
And not to mention, there's some time, it seems. How long ago did he have his last contact with Versace before coming to do this? So that's also interesting.
Because they meet in 1990, and this happens in 1997. That's 7 years.
Yeah.
Were they ever involved? Because his fiance talked to the police about bringing different men home to sleep with them.
So, yeah.
In essence, he's, and I don't want to put light on this, but he's a gay version of Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner has multiple girlfriends at one time, so what's the difference between Gianni Versace and a bunch of different men at one time? There's really not, but
right.
I'm curious to know if Andrew really had an intimate relationship with him at any point in time.
Yeah, because now we... Yeah.
Well, they're seemingly leaning up to it with the whole eyelash move. That's a move that usually gets me.
We know the secret now. That's the secret move. Well, guys, this has been an awesome panel. I'm so glad we kicked it off with this one, guys. Hopefully, guys, will join us next week. Again, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, Shaka Strong.
All right, I'm just as strong. My name is Ronnie, and I'm always battling my weight, so I'm also have to get motivated from him. Even though your motivation never really helps, but
hey.
Oh no, not that you're bad. I'm just a heavy eater. I didn't realize this is what you're gonna realize in this commentary. I usually just say everything, and then I have to shit it later. Anyways, that is me. I'm super excited about this story, and I think it's a great panel. And as I was saying at the beginning, like, I've done how many of these shows or whatever, and I'm never nervous. Master of None was fun. That was my other favorite. But I'm so nervous even hanging with you guys doing this, because it's such a big story. So I feel blessed that the contributors will write on the YouTube and give different ideas of things we forget. Anyways, with that said, I'm Ronnie Jr. and my social media is at RandomlyRJ, and my website is RandomlyRonnieJr.com.
AfterBuzzers, thank you guys so much for tuning in with us today for American Crime Story The Assassination of Versace. I'm so excited about this season just in general. You can follow me and follow all my commentary at Russell Ray Silva across all handles, or catch up on our past episodes and find the links to them at RussellRaySilva.com, or you can go directly through YouTube.
Awesome. Well, if you can't tell, this was so much fun for us, and I hope it was as much fun for you guys. Please go like and comment on our YouTube page. If you like this, also, AfterBuzz has so much content out there, so you go see the last season of FX, American Crime Story.
Yes.
There's so much out there.
And you did a good commentary on Insecure. She sure did.
Oh, thank
she
you.
She sure did. Bonjour it up, baby.
Thank you.
That's the best thing about these shows, is you get to watch it on the TV.
Right.
And then we all get to come together. And they were all talking about it, these actors. Sorry for running late. The actors were talking about it. We don't have appointment television anymore. This is one of our big events. Yeah. Otherwise, it's Netflix, the whole series.
Right, right. I think these are such powerful shows, and it's good to talk about them.
I think it'll be good to have a thing of champagne or something next episode.
Ooh. That's the kind of guy I am. Not drinking. Damn it.
I'm with it. Anyway,
thank you, Jeff.
Wait, sorry. In the meantime, guys, yes, I have to put my shout out there.
Yes.
You can follow me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliette or Bonjour Juliette.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Oh, wow.
See you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. AfterBuzz TV.